So, would you take this deal? I mean, this deal that God gave to Joshua. God's saying, I want you to be so successful. I want to blow your socks off. Every step of the way, every place you step, that territory is going to be claimed as you, as the Israelites. And he's like, I want you to lead. Moses has passed on. You are my man, all right? But I want to bless you, I want to prosper you. Wow. Cool. I mean, if God were saying to you, I want to bless you, I want to prosper you, I want you to be successful in everything you endeavor. Cool. Other side of the coin, all right, God says, now, here is my word. I want you to meditate on it. I want you to study it night and day. I want you to get into this word and let this word get into you, and then be careful to obey it. That's your side. If you will do that, I will bless your socks off. So would you take that deal? God, I don't know. I mean, you know, cool and everything, but I'm so busy, you know, and the office, and, you know, we're too short on staff, and all my kids, and I'm just so busy. So, God, thank you, but, you know, I'm just going to, you know, kind of, I'll come to church, and, you know, I'll listen, but day and night, and to meditate and really study, that's kind of hard, God. Just saying. What has been your response to God's promised blessings? But it's still true today. Those promised blessings, those amazing, phenomenal blessings that can be ours, God's promise. And his promise is already true, always true. But our end of the deal is get into his word, let it get into us, and be careful to live by it. What do you think of that deal? Anyway, I'm going to start with that. And now, focusing on Joshua. Who is this guy? Who is Joshua anyway? Oh, he's one of my favorite Bible characters, people from the Bible. Absolute hero extraordinary. Just amazing man of God. He had been Moses' protege. He had been Moses' aide, his right-hand man throughout Moses' career. And so he had an amazing mentor in Moses, and he had learned from Moses, live by this book. I mean, God did not really have to tell him twice. Moses was already about that. And as Moses, Joshua, I knew I was going to do that. I'm going to flip-flop those names, but as Joshua lived into that, those commands of God, he was living into God's promises. So what was it that stood out about Joshua? And here he was taking over, and when Moses started leading the Israelites, it was about 3 million people. I have to believe that that number grew. So a large group of people, basically the population of Chicago at least. You're the leader. You're the leader. I mean, and the cool thing is, they're ready. They've been wandering in the desert 40 years now. But finally, they're right there, getting ready to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land. And Joshua is going to be the one that's going to lead them in and lead them into conquest. So, what stands out about him, first of all, if you're going through the sermon notes, point two is he was a man of God and God's man. He was God's man. He was chosen by God, which is very evident in that sermon text. Chosen by God to lead the people, but he was also a man of God. And he had that strong support from God. God said to him, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God had his back. that, probably above everything else and anything else, was Joshua's secret. He absolutely knew and lived into that promise. God had his back every step of the way. And God's encouragement, just be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. And you can see in the references there that again and again, God kept encouraging him that way. Be strong and courageous and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. He kept telling him, I've got your back. And that's God's promise to us too. When we are totally given over to God, when I am God's and God is mine, I know God's got my back. And so I can be strong and courageous, and I don't have to be afraid. You can be a person of God and God's person. Point three, he was a man of the people. A man of the people. He had the people's support. I put lack of rebellion because all these people, actually the previous generation, I should say, because a whole generation in the desert had literally died off. That's why it was 40 years. God had just determined at the very beginning they were so rebellious. And God's words were stiff-necked, rebellious, hard-headed. God was furious with them, and God just said, this generation is not going in the promised land. And so 40 years, what was that about? 40 years in the desert? It was so that that current generation would just die off, and their children then, as they grew to be adults, would be the ones to go in the promised land. Now, I mean, they had Moses fit to be tied, and God was so frustrated with these people. But in Joshua's case, there was none of that. Well, he was a man of the people, I think, first and foremost, because he was such a man of integrity. Not that Moses wasn't. I think, number one, the people had learned their lesson, and the hard way. When they had rebelled against God, ooh, bad things happened. No, really. Awful things happened. And I think these children that were growing up, and as they grew up, they could just see. I mean, every time, oh man, when Korah went off on Moses and tried to, you know, question his leadership, oh dude, do you remember? The ground swallowed up. I mean, just opened up and swallowed him and his whole family. Whew. We learned our lessons. All right? And I think number two, it's a lot less discouraging going in and conquering than going about wandering. It just is. I mean, when you can live into it, be people of action, and this whole, as they went in and literally went and conquered that promised land, in the end, 32 battles. One they lost to Ai, the city of Ai and the king of Ai. And that's, I don't know if I should get off on that tangent. It's a wonderful tangent. I don't have time. But came back, defeated him, but conquered 31 kings and 31 nations in a short amount of time. Which, I mean, if you really think of that, that's huge. And especially, I mean, these were a nomadic people. And they were going in and taking on people bigger and stronger than them, more numerous than them, fortified cities. And if something went wrong in that battle, what were they going to run back to? I mean, these people had a fortified city to run into. They had tents to run back to. But in each case, they conquered. And being a people that are going in and getting it done versus wandering around. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking, Carol, and I could ask you, so how's it been with Cecil this week? Because, you know, Cecil's a man of action. He's a hard worker, and he just had thumb surgery, and painful, awful, painful, anyway. And so, you know, he's been in recovery mode, and I was asking him, you know, last night how things are going, and, you know, kind of doing a lot of sitting around. And so how is he to live with these days, Carolyn, if I may ask? Is it a little easier, you know, when he's a man of action and out working, or when he's at home sitting around? I mean, it's just discouraging, isn't it? See, so I mean, just, yeah. And hey, there's times when we need that, recovering. And there's times, even spiritually, when we need to pull back. And we need to rest in the Lord. That John and I were talking at breakfast yesterday about the benefits of hard work. I mean, that's living life, is when you're just rolling up your sleeves and you're getting it done, working hard. You know, it's not hard work that kills us, it's stress that kills us. No, people of action, if we're people of action, getting it done, oh, it's a whole lot better. Whole lot better. And so when the Israelites came out of that wandering phase, went into the conquering phase, yeah, Joshua had no problem with the people. They were more than compliant. But right from the beginning, says they answered Joshua, whatever, this is chapter 1, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, well, their parents didn't, but so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. So he was a man of the people, and the people were behind him. Probably the people were behind him also because he was, point four, a man of the word. He was a man of integrity, but he was a man of his word, but he was a man of the word. Oh, God told him, and I've been through this already with the kids and earlier with you, meditate on this day and night and live it, live it, live into it. And he did. He was a man of the word. God said, I mean, it was explicit that if you want to be successful and prosperous, do this. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And it's still true today. If you want to be successful in life, and there's all kinds of strategies out there and all kinds of success gurus that'll tell you one of this or that. This is fundamental, foundational. Don't get away from this. Point five, he was a man on a mission. And he completed the mission that God gave to him. His mission was, A, conquer the land. B, to administrate the division of the land among the different tribes, which he did. And then C, to inspire the people to be faithful to the covenant with their God. He completed his mission. He was a man of mission. But he had great clarity in his mission, too. If you're taking notes, write that word in, clarity. Here's what I want to say about that. I want to ask the question, how clear is your mission in life? Do you understand what your mission in life is? I love Ephesians 2, verse 10. For you are God's workmanship, his work of art. That's how God looks at you and views you. You are his workmanship, crafted in Christ Jesus to do good works. He's got a plan for you, which he planned. Let's see, for you, God's workmanship, crafted in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he planned in advance for you to do. So God's got this plan for you to do these wonderful, awesome things. Have you understood it yet? Do you know what that is? Do you have clarity about your mission? What's your life supposed to be about? What has God specifically called you to do? Well, me, I'm kind of insignificant. And are you kidding? You know what? The shell of you might be. I could buy that. I resemble that comment, thank you. But God inside of us, now he can do awesome things through every single one of us. Do you have clarity about your call, your mission? If you don't, pursue God on it. I mean, really pursue God, because there's a massive difference between a life lived on mission, knowing clearly what God has called me to do, and I will do it. I dedicate my whole life to it. That is a life where the person is thriving. That's the kind of life where God's words come true, successful, prosperous. I mean, thriving. The person who's, I don't know. All right. And it gets back to getting in the Word, too. Here is where you will find. This is your instruction manual. And God's Holy Spirit will be so faithful as you read to to clarify for you, this is what I have created you for and what I am calling you to. And it will become very clear to you. Get that clarity. Do everything you can to get that clarity. Slow down until you get that clarity. Point six, the importance and significance of faithfulness. Like I said, he was faithful, Joshua. I mean, I would like to say, you know, he had a 31-1-1 record. It's pretty good. 31-1-1. 31 wins, defeated 31 kings, one loss, you know, lost the battle at Ai, and then they came back and defeat him in the end, and one tie. What's the tie about? Yeah, well, the Gibeonites, they deceived them into this really bad treaty, and so they couldn't go to war against them, so they made them their slaves. But, you know, anyway, 31-1-1, not a bad record. But Joshua was faithful in everything God had called him to do. But here's what I want to say, too. I mean, faithfulness for Joshua is all about conquering, right? Right? You know, faithfulness, though, might look very different for some of us. It might not be about conquering. I mean, when a nation like Israel at that point was just all in with God, all in, all for God, but just focused, clearly knew their mission and was faithful to do it, oh, yes, success, prosperity, conquering. I mean, God had our backs and, man, awesome, right? Yeah, that's when the nation is, all together. What happens when you are in a scenario where you're living in a nation that's very backslidden and turning away from God and where, yeah, things just aren't going in God's direction? Faithfulness might look very different in that case. I mean, it could even get to persecution as a result, exile. It could cost you your very life, faithfulness to God. Listen in Hebrews 11. I want to read a little bit out of it. Hebrews 11 is known as kind of like the chapter that talks about the great heroes of the faith. In some cases, because of their faithfulness, oh, it was awesome. You know, I talked about the people who, through faith, conquered kingdoms. Oh, Joshua, yeah. Administered justice and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions. Oh, yeah, yeah. Quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword. Whose weakness was turned to strength and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Awesome. That all of a sudden, mid-verse, switch gears big time. Then there were others who by their faithfulness were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains, imprisonment. That's what faithfulness looked like for these people. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Oh, that doesn't sound very successful, prosperous, does it? The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. So, success and prosperity? Let's be clear. Always, every time in here, success, prosperity, a heart abounding with love, God's love, abounding with joy, and even sitting in a prison cell. Heart abounding with joy, literally experiencing the presence of God and his glory right there in the cell with you. What joy and peace, peace that passes understanding, no matter if hell is breaking loose, literally all around me, I've got God's peace. So faithfulness can look very, can have very different results. That's the point I'm trying to make. You getting my point? Now the point, therefore, is not to focus on success. I mean, God promised Joshua success and prosperity. The point is not to pursue success, but to pursue faithfulness, come what may. In our country, the verdict is still out. We have been heading in a very bad direction, due south of God, if God is due north, for a long time now. I'm not sure what's ahead of us, but the call is to faithfulness. And if we, as his people, will humble ourselves, and if we will follow him and pray and be people of the word and people of prayer, maybe God can turn this ship around through our prayers. Maybe he will do that. So, in this sermon series, we've studied several great heroes of the faith. Noah and Abraham, Tamar. Yep, that's probably, anyway, if you didn't hear that sermon, go online. So, and get that. Joseph, Moses, Joshua, and the things that marked them as heroes. They were called by God. They were courageous, right? Eyes set on heaven, always eyes set on heaven. Breastplate of righteousness. Shield of faith. They were faithful too, faithful. Their influence was impactful. In fact, their influence, the shock waves, just keep coming at us today. And they were overcomers, sometimes amazingly so. And I have continued to assert that God is in the business of making heroes, and often out of common, ordinary folk. So what about you? God's call to make new heroes is going out. So what about you? Are you even open to the call? Pursue God on this. Get into his word. Like I started this sermon saying, the deal that God is offering is amazing. Amazing blessings. And what he wants to do with your life is extraordinary. God in you can do amazing things. My advice is become a person of the word and a person of prayer. And it could be that some of the heroes of today who maybe help to turn this nation around and pray for revival, that God might just have mercy upon us and turn things around for us. So as I close, and Tori, if you would, what I'd like to do is switch things, the order around a little bit. I was going to sing this for the offertory, and so I'm actually going to ask if we can, I'll do the prayer afterwards, but if the ushers will come forward, and while the offering is being taken, it just needed to flow this way, but Greta came to me and said, there's this song, this hymn, you've got to sing, and it's so appropriate right now for where we're at as a nation. She's right. So I just wanted to kind of close the sermon out with this song. Again, we need to be people of the word and people of prayer that this nation might be turned around. So.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray. If my people, who are called by my name, shall seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I hear and will forgive their sin. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, I will forgive the sin. I will forgive the sin. I will forgive the sin. And he